Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow American sandwichman and James Edwards. Live on your radio, hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for July the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is Hour 2 at 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to protect and promote God, family, and country. Welcome to the broadcast. We do so in the traditions of our founding fathers. Let me quickly just recap what we talked about last hour. Our guest, James Edwards, co-host, joins us, thepoliticalcesspool.org, in his book, Racism, Schmacism, today. Rand Paul says it's now time to keep our promises and repeal Obamacare. But Donald has lost so much political capital over health care. The question is, can he even recover? Sam and James provide suggestions and solutions for President Donald Trump to regain leadership and hope in his presidency. Sam focuses on pro-life. James speaks of the need to build the border wall. They round out the hour by focusing on Trump's fake battle with the mainstream media. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Last hour was a barn burner. You know, there's some people who have a lot harder rhetoric than we do on the radio, you know, and I'm capable of that kind of blustering commentary as well, but I don't believe in it. In other words, we can just attack people and have a real barn burner come down from your ivory towers and really attack everybody. And that's what a lot of hosts do because it creates political theater and it raises money in it. You know, like you go out somewhere and with a bullhorn or you do this and that and you get a lot of attention. But I don't believe it's actually solutions-oriented, helpful commentary. And so I would submit to you that Liberty Roundtable Live is the most hard-hitting broadcast you will find with common sense and solutions in the mix. And there's a balance there that's important. You got to really talk about the problems in America. But if you're not careful, you almost end up downing America. That's not helpful either. So with that, we talked about the conservative commentator Ann Coulter's in the news, James. And we played the interview yesterday that you and I had with Ann Coulter at the Republican National Convention.
You're one step ahead of me the whole time, Sam. I was just about to say, as you were recapping with marvelous notes, by the way, the first hour, I was looking at the calendar when you said July, or rather January. No, it's July. I was looking at the calendar. You mentioned Ann Coulter, who has had some sort of a scuffle with Delta this week. It was a year ago right now that we were at the Republican National Convention together. I think it was a year ago, literally this week, if I'm not mistaken. And so a year ago right now, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, and I were broadcasting live, press credentials and all at the RNC. I think I felt like we were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Sam, in the fiery furnace. But the angel of the Lord looked after us, and we went and did our business in Cleveland and got back home safe and were there amongst the den of vipers and never let them get us down. And we did great radio there. We've had some great memories together, and certainly that interview with Ann Coulter, among many others that you and I conducted that week, was certainly a highlight. I was going to ask you, before you even mentioned Coulter, I was going to ask if you remember that this was when it was a year ago. What was some of your favorite memories from that week together? But anyway, you preempted me.
Yeah, we played yesterday the Ann Coulter interview, and I mentioned how, you know, she did a great job. She's super busy and hard to get a hold of, but she's kind of made a blunder in the media. I don't know if you saw this, but she's battling Delta Airlines because she paid $30 for an extra seat, or a seat that had a little bit more leg room. She's a very tall lady, and they gave her seat away, and she's mad about it. She's having a big old meltdown, but no offense. They kind of wrote back and said, we gave her a different seat with as much leg room. We're trying to balance everybody the best we can. We refunded her money. We're so sorry about this. But then they came back with an attack of their own on Ann, just basically.
And yeah, I saw that.
From what I understand, this isn't the first time Ann's had a battle over these kinds of issues either. Sad to say, I like a lot of what Ann does. But in this case, she's making a fool of herself, James.
Ann Coulter is like, well, you mentioned it a second ago without completing the thought, the way we deliver our commentaries. We try to do it in certainly a very aggressive and confident manner, but without being offensive. Now, that, I guess that's ironic because we're in the press more than just about anybody else, and the things they say about us, you wouldn't call your worst enemy. But we tried to present a family-friendly program without being sensational, without being shocking. I think sometimes, for lack of a better term, radical traditionalism, in other words, the kind of America that existed really not that long ago, would be offensive and confrontational to a lot of people. But I think the way we deliver it, Sam, is the way it should be done. Very manly, but also not going out of our way just to try to get headlines. And I think Ann Coulter gets, you know, plays that game a little bit. I think she is certainly a very talented and intelligent writer and commentator and pundit. But she will try to stoke a controversy if she can in order to grab a few more headlines. And that's probably really what's going on here.
Yeah, you're probably right. Anyway, we talked about that a little bit. We played that interview, but the last headline from the second hour yesterday, I want to bounce off you before we move on to today's news. Headline: Big Labor gets behind Donald Trump as NAFTA negotiations start taking shape. So now what you got is we support Donald destroying NAFTA and renegotiating agreements, but the bottom line is if Big Labor, the big forced unions, get behind the Donald, Donald might be just thrown from the frying pan into the fire because if you renegotiate these trade deals, the question is, do you want to compete with foreign interests and have an unfair playing field, which is what we have now? Or do you want to level the playing field as long as you're in the forced union plan, James? And if we're not careful, Donald will be ping-ponged from one issue to the next, never really standing for the free markets.
Interestingly, this was another conversation that we had at the RNC in Cleveland last year. The labor, the issue of unions and
you guys were laughing at me when I was bringing this up, and I told you that, hey, Donald Trump's literally a crime union boss, and now Big Labor's all back in the Donald, sir.
Well, and of course, it's somewhat tied to these trade agreements also, I guess you could say. And, well, we remember last year, get out of NATO. NATO is an obsolete agreement. It may have had a place in the world 60, 70 years ago, but there's no reason to be. And now, I believe it was NATO. I believe that was the exact agreement that just a couple of months ago, Don was like, NATO's great. Why would we ever get out of NATO? And of course, what he was saying last year was, it's stupid. Only an idiot would keep you in it, and we're going to get out of it when I become president. Well, that's one thing. And then now this, yes, I mean, sometimes I wonder if people have theories all over the map. Donald Trump's playing 4D chess. He's so advanced in his thinking. He's doing things that even his supporters can't see yet, but he's really gaming everybody for good. And then, of course, some people say he's just on the inside and he's working with the establishment. And then a third theory might be he's just such a political novice. He really just hasn't gotten a grasp of what's happening and how to deal with it yet. I don't know. One of those three is true, that's for sure. But if it is the fact that he just has a nascent political ideology, it'd be very easy for somebody like that. Even with his experience as a alpha male in the business world, politics is still a little different. And I know he's made deals and he's given money and he knows how the game is played, but he could be.
All I know is this. If he wants to get a hold of our buddy Bannon, who I don't even know, by the way, and have Bannon reach out to the new media taking center stage, and Donald wants to circumvent the 13 thugs at this press corps control group, and he wants to really, truly take off the gloves. Hey, man, I got about 50 talk show hosts that are all willing to jump aboard and unify it behind that and really get her done. We could get this done tomorrow, James.
Well, Trump was seemingly baptized by fire. I mean, you could certainly learn a lot about politics in that year that he had running for office, but I've never spent a day in any sort of elected office, but I would have enough sense to know that I wouldn't buddy around with the same people, Paul Ryan, the establishment press, the same people that did everything they could to tear me down. At least that's the way it looked from the outside looking down on it. Why would you try to surround yourself with those people? So that's, again, a big red flag, and we litigated that the first hour. But these trade agreements getting in bed with people that didn't support you last year and now letting them be your buddies, I don't know, Sam. It's not a good look, whether he's doing it purposefully or ignorantly. It really doesn't matter. We would have enough sense to know not to do that, and we don't have as much experience as he does.
Well, or maybe we have more.
Well, we don't have – I mean, he's been the president for 6 months longer than we have is what I mean. Perhaps with the media, certainly. I don't know. I mean, he lived his life in the media too. Regardless of not being in elected office, we would have enough experience to know not to do this.
Now, I'm going
to
switch gears because I find this story fascinating, and James Edwards certainly will have plenty to say on this. You ready? It's a Daily Caller political section article, and the headline says this, James. Linda Sarsour says Jake Tapper is a white nationalist. We'll talk about it. I'm telling you now, Jake Tapper's a white nationalist. He's part of the alt-right, James. And
I gotta hear this.
Come on, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, the author of this Daily Caller article is Peter Hassan, and the article is Linda Sarsour says that Jake Tapper is a white nationalist. Now, who is this Linda Sarsour lady? Just so you know. This is the lady that said women who are conservative and don't believe in pro-death and all this stuff, we need to take their vaginas away, she says. I kid you not. They're not using their vaginas properly. See? What you're supposed to do is, like, you know, run around and be a slut. If we slut shame, then that's a problem. We're the enemy. You're supposed to use your vagina for this feminist agenda and for all kinds of illicit sex and all kinds of perversion. She's the lady that literally supports cop killers. I mean, this lady is whacked out, deranged as you can get. Anyway, I bring her up because now she's accusing Jake Tapper over at CNN of being a white supremacist. Now, James, number one, Jake Tapper has attacked every alt-right person on the planet, number one. And number two, as far as I understand, Jake Tapper's Jewish. Now, I'm not here to attack him for being Jewish, but the idea that he's a white supremacist is psychotic, and this just shows you the lengths that these feminazis will go to if you don't celebrate her vagina to destroy life and promote perverted sex. Then you got to take away all the vaginas of women that don't agree with her, and you got to call Jake Tapper, a well-known Jew, a white supremacist because he doesn't agree with her. I mean, this is what we've come to, James.
This is it. This is what I wrote my book about in 2010. And in 2010, this whole game of labeling anybody that you disagree with, a racist or a white supremacist, had nearly ratcheted up to the levels that we find it at today. And it just had went to all new levels in 2016. And now, even now, it's a Jake Tapper is Jewish. That is true. He's left wing. He is, of course, I guess I repeat myself. Those are, I guess, almost two prerequisites to be a CNN anchor, which he is. I guess his skin is looks white, so I guess that's enough to earn yourself the label today. But no, in addition to the things we just mentioned about Jake Tapper, he has attacked, as you mentioned, every figurehead of the alt-right or anybody that they could claim would to be a figurehead of the alt-right, including yours truly. He's attacked. So, but he must have said one thing. Despite all of that, he must have said one thing that this person didn't like, and that was enough to get him the label of alt-right white supremacist. This is just all of this stuff, folks. You just have to accept it and disregard it. Accept it not because it's right, but accept it because you can't make a liar be truthful. And that's you have right. to understand that in today's political climate, it has devolved to you do anything that offends anybody or you do anything that someone disagrees with, and you're instantly a white supremacist. That is just the go-to slur. That is just the go-to attack to try to shut down and stifle
now,
debate.
If you're
I wrote
a female,
all about this extensively.
If you're a female and they don't agree with the feminazis, then they say they need to take away your vagina. Otherwise, you're a male, you're a white supremacist, see?
Well, you know, Sam, our travels have really broadened our horizons and perspectives. And it just goes to show, folks, that this network gets around in the best possible sense of that term. But there, Sam, Kurt, and I were once again at the inauguration. And we just happened to be at the inauguration, which, of course, a day later was this big, nasty woman march. You know, we can talk all day about this also.
Yeah, and by the way, Hillary's on Twitter now promoting Nasty Woman t-shirts, raising money for Planned Parenthood and the full frontal nudity girl or whatever. They've literally raised millions of dollars now for Planned Parenthood. You and I can't raise $5, right?
Well, and why would you want to wear a t-shirt advertising yourself as a nasty woman? Now,
well,
I know it all comes from the
fact. You want to run
fact...
around and call yourself a slut. And if I say anything bad about it, then I'm slut-shaming. See, it's that same whole idea that you're allowed to promote your vagina for all kinds of perversions. You're not allowed to talk about God's law, traditional marriage, morality, pro-life. You know, what you want to do is use your, you know, physical body to promote death and destruction and misery and terror across the world. And if I stand up against it, I'm a white supremacist. Anybody else stands up against it that's female, and pretty soon they don't even deserve their vaginas. Okay, this is the kind of stuff these people do. And then they run around and wear these vagina hats to promote their agenda.
Well,
vagina monologues. Right, Sam, I mean, this is just psychotic, sir.
This is it. So we happen to be white. I'm proud of the way God made me. I'm not ashamed to be white. I'm proud of my cultural heritage. I'm proud of my Christian spiritual heritage. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of my parents. I'm proud of all of these things. I'm a traditionalist in that regard. But, of course, to be a traditionalist in this degenerate society, to have the beliefs that I do that are very natural and healthy, I am a white supremacist. Now, if you are a true, you know, it's interesting, the word feminist. If you are an actual feminine woman, that means you, of course, reject everything that comes from the feminist movement. But if you are, in fact, a woman who wears nice dresses, you know, a classic dress, someone who is a mother, someone who provides for her family that way, someone who bears children.
Or a nice skirt.
Prepares them meals. See, you are a white supremacist if you are a traditionalist person who happens to be white. And you are, of course, not even a woman if you are a real woman, unless you have liberated yourself with the sin of feminism. You can't even be a real woman. You don't even deserve to have a vagina. If you're going to use your vagina to produce children, you're not using it. If you're going to use your vagina to produce children, you are not using it in the way that a feminist would want
right.
a woman.
And if you use it in the efforts of the relationship between a husband and wife, the way God intended, then you know what? You're literally allowing rape to occur in their minds, right?
Yep. Well, it's like you said the other day. We're going to promote every form of sex except good sex.
The God-ordained.
God-ordained sex, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
That's where we're at.
So you're a white supremacist. You're all of these things. You're a bigot. You're not a feminist. You know, it's just, it's evil is good. Good is evil. That's, we could pretty much put a cap on it right there.
Amen to that. Ending with a Kurt Cosby frequently used phrase. Boy, is that spot on. Now, I don't know if you know, but it's late breaking news. Straight Obamacare repeal, dead in the Senate, James.
So that's happened since we opened the show with the talk on the health care bill?
Well, it's hard to say because they talked about it, but now as people are reporting it as an official, and so when it really happened versus is hard to say.
Well, again, I say that's not a signature issue. That's not something Trump should have been leading.
Except in that legislation, they were supposed to defund Planned Parenthood. So now they're talking strict repeal. That's failed. What they need to do next is they simply need to abolish funding for Planned Parenthood yesterday. But they're not going to get that done either because they love the murderous agenda.
Of course they do, and I agree with that 100%. Now, that would have been a nice little nugget to put in there, but the bottom line is, even though it's not one of the issues that we talked about that Trump should be tackling head on, you can't correct everything that's wrong in America in 4 years. You couldn't correct it in 40 years. But
buddy, I'd work 24/7, die trying, though. I'll tell you that right now.
You could certainly make a dent. But what I'm saying is Trump can't, as the president, and what the limited powers the president actually has, Trump is not going to be able to tackle every issue. And so you got to be very selective about what issues you try to get through, because you're going to be stymied by Congress. You're going to be stymied by the media, et cetera, all of these fake scandals like Donald Trump Jr. talked to somebody from Russia, and that's supposed to be a bad thing. Anyway, but that's not to say that the healthcare issue isn't important somewhere down the line. I'm certainly suffering from Obamacare. I don't even have insurance. I am absolutely flying blind. I don't have insurance. My wife doesn't have insurance. My children don't have insurance. If we go to the doctor or whatever, we've been to the hospital twice, pay out of pocket. We got to pay cash. That's all we can do, because I'm not going to pay $1,000 a month for horrible coverage with a $2,500 per person deductible. So we're $1,000 a month out of pocket. Plus, we're out of pocket. In addition to those premiums, we're out of pocket the first $2,500 in services before anything starts to kick in. I can't afford that. But this is the legacy of Obamacare for middle class people, for working class people. You're screwed. And so I do want something, a better healthcare solution. I wish we could just go back to what it was a couple of years ago. That worked all right for me. It was still expensive, but I mean, at least there was some level of service and you got what you paid for. And it wasn't perfect, but it was a lot better than we got now. So I am suffering under what we have here. I do hope some traction is made and something changes, because I'm scared if we have a catastrophic car wreck or somebody gets a chronic disease. I mean, we're going to be in really bad shape, but I can't afford it to go otherwise. So, yes, I'm one of the people that is suffering. It is an important issue to me, quite personally, but it doesn't look like anything's happening fast here, Sam.
Now, to ratchet up the fake news, Trump demands the Senate investigate Hillary over Russia. Did you see this?
Well, I mean, I applaud him for that.
Well,
I mean,
so the guy that swore lock her up now is supposedly calling for an investigation of Hillary over Russia. Now, I don't know if you know how this all breaks down, Kurt, but what's Hillary's tie to Russia? Do you know what that is?
No.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you, but they're planning on Trump impeachment hearings in August as well.
Oh, boy. Another circus coming soon to your capital
city.
Hang
tight, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman filling in for the spots that aren't running. Hope you're doing fantastic. I want to talk a little bit about the Give Me Liberty Fund. If you want a win-win-win situation for patriots, if you want a way that good, honest people can work together for solutions, and you want to provide funding for the best things on the planet, here's how you do it. You become a member of the Give Me Liberty Fund. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Now, here's the deal. It's a win for patriots because they pay less than a dollar a day and get to be a member of this club. And this club offers you discounts on businesses and services that will exceed the less than a dollar a day you're paying, folks, for sure. Businesses win because they get new customers that are patriots, that believe in America and believe in liberty. The Give Me Liberty Fund wins because it has the funding now to promote patriotic events, causes, places, things, people, efforts, etc., and publicly transparently display what they fund. So, you know what? Businesses get a great deal, new customers. They give a discount to those customers. The Giving Liberty Fund members pay less than a dollar a day to be a member. And then the Giving Liberty Fund has all this funding to promote great causes. To learn more, givemelibertyfund.com. I'm telling you right now, folks, a lot of people talk. But this radio network, Sam Bushman and the folks that are doing what we do, we walk the walk. We work on funding. We work on ways to make things in America. We work on ways to promote businesses. Do business with the good guys, would you please? We do our very best to really do what we talk about. We're the same on the radio as we are in person. Our public and private lives match in terms of morality. We're not perfect, but you know what? There's not a game being played here. We don't do political theater. We focus on real solutions for you. Please learn more about GiveMeLibertyFund.com.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So Donald used to chant, lock her up. Now Donald supposedly demanding that the Senate investigate Hillary over Russia. Now, you know Donald's son, Junior, is being attacked over Russia, and this story won't go away. But Hillary's been colluding with the Russians, and Pat Buchanan documented a lot of this. But the double standard is amazing. But here's the real deal. All right, Hillary Clinton's opposition to the Russia sanctions coincided with Bill Clinton's $500,000 Moscow speech. Jack Crow writes the piece for the Daily Caller. So literally, Bill Clinton went and spoke. Literally went and spoke to the Russians in Moscow. Got a $500,000 for the speech. Then Hillary comes back and has oppositions to Russian sanctions. Now, I'm not for Russian sanctions either. But the problem is, who's colluding with the Russians? The mainstream press, the 13 leaders hanging out with Donald in private on the press secret brigade, whatever you want to call it. And then Donald attacking the press. How come this isn't coming up, James?
All good questions, Sam.
It isn't coming up because they're all in bed together, buddy. It's all a sham. He's no closer to locking her up. He's not doing anything to make that happen. He's going to push the Senate to investigate Hillary now?
It's not just that it doesn't appear that that's correct. That's obviously, undoubtedly the case.
In fact, we even have Donald on record now. When people say lock her up, we even have Donald on record now literally saying, he used to say lock her up and leave the chance. He's on record saying, why would I do that?
Exactly. And maybe you could say, well, he's won. Now he's being magnanimous. There could be something to that in most cases. I don't think that's the case in this case. I think Donald Trump has always been, and certainly in the industry that he grew up in, development in New York City, are you kidding me? You have to be ruthless. You have to be cutthroat. So I would say in some cases you could say, well, you're being magnanimous over a vanquished foe. That's not Donald Trump, and it's not a bad thing to be magnanimous. It's not a bad thing in this to not be when you're dealing with evil like Hillary Clinton was. It wouldn't be wrong of you to not be magnanimous and
If you were going to say we're going to hold Hillary accountable for her actions, but we are going to give her some kind of a favor if she helps us drain the swamp, or, you know, really calls a car, you know, really gets pay dirt on others so we can literally create accountability across the government. I'm not saying that there couldn't be something offered, but to literally lead the chance to lock her up and call her a criminal, and then to literally go, well, why would I put that criminal in jail? Why would I even? At some point, you become a criminal if you allow criminals to continue, sir.
Well, and then look on the flip side, what we were talking about just before that last break. On the flip side, he's not going to aggressively pursue justice or at least a decent hearing in whether or not Hillary Clinton was, in fact, guilty of criminal offenses. But they will. And who knows what these potential articles of impeachment are going to have in them? Is it going to be political wrongdoing? Is it going to be criminal wrongdoing? Who knows what they're going to try to throw at Donald? But if, in fact, those are issued in August, his first
Hold
year
on, they've already
is
drawn
done.
Up articles of impeachment. The question is, will they schedule hearings on it now? And that's what's
That's correct. That's the point. They have to, of course, you know, file them, I guess you could say. But
they've already filed them. The question is when they'll take action on them.
They might just let them languish and
sit there.
Well, if it does come up for a public hearing and it becomes a big spectacle, that's at least the first year, probably well into the second year, if he survives it at all, which he probably would. But it's just another tactic to slow down any good he might have done, either purposefully or
coincidentally. I think you got to give a copy of your daily schedule, where you'll be, who you'll be with, and everything else out daily to those who are working in bed with criminals to impeach you, right?
That sounds like
an awesome opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
See, this is the kind of stuff we're battling, folks, and I appreciate the efforts here, and I appreciate all you folks who want to believe in the Donald, but I'm telling you, you're being suckered. You're absolutely being suckered. I'll give you an example. They say that Donald Trump is the least popular president in history.
That's saying a lot, considering how many bad ones we've had. But, I mean, I doubt I believe that. I doubt I believe any poll.
Well, again, the same people that put out the polls are the people that have private meetings with Donald daily, sir.
Well, listen, until Donald Trump takes decisive action, you will be able to say that, and you're not going to be proven wrong. In fact, there's going to be more and more evidence to suggest that your opinion of Donald Trump is the right one.
Hope he takes action and proves me wrong. I'll be glad to admit it.
Well, of course, don't we all? But unless he does, it's going to become more and more likely that you've been right all along about Trump. And even if he throws the kitchen sink at these people, he fights them with all he's got, even if he loses, if he's impeached, if he goes down, I'd rather somebody fight and go down in flames than to just sit there spinning your wheels and give us another 3.5 years like this first 6 months where, honestly, very little has happened. People can point to the periphery and say, well, there's this that's been better than Hillary. Yes, he has probably been better than Hillary, but being a little bit better than Hillary is not enough at this late stage in the decline of the American experiment. We're in the terminal stage now. It's going to take a miracle. A little bit of improvement on the margins is not going to do it.
All right. Now, this story I find interesting because, again, Donald says lock her up, but he doesn't really mean it. Donald says build the wall, but he doesn't really mean it. Donald says the media is evil, but he doesn't really mean it. Okay, here's another one for you. Now, Donald correctly said there's vote fraud going on. Since he won, he's not too worried about it, but he did set up a little presidential commission to work on it, right? Well, now there's a new article that delivers the pay dirt. You ready? Trump voter fraud investigation prompts thousands of Colorado voters to cancel their voter registrations.
Okay.
So now you got thousands of people that have pulled their registrations because they know they're illegally voting.
Well,
that's now that Donald talked about it, is anybody really going to push pay dirt on this and say there's proof, there's voter fraud, mainstream press, you were wrong?
Yeah, with a couple of thousand down, a few million to go.
Okay, but I don't hear Donald speaking out about that now. He's too busy calling Brzezinski an ugly face pig and stuff, right?
Well, I mean, and that showmanship did get him in the White House. I think, again, that irreverence, and I'm not, that's not the way I would do it, but I did take some entertainment value from it, and it certainly wasn't anything that made me second guess voting for him. I like some of that brash, in-your-face stuff, but yes, I think at the end of the day, now that he's president, this would probably be a more significant issue to shine the spotlight on.
All right, I got a good news piece for you that I got to highlight. And the headline says this: 17-year-old girl uses gun to scare away home intruder. Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
All right, the story is posted by Amber Athey. A-T-H-E-Y. Athey, I guess is how you say it. Athey. Anyway, here's the bottom line. The 17-year-old girl was worried. She grabbed the gun. The thug came in her house. She flat out fired her rape me not. And the dude ran away and melted down. Now, all I'm telling you is I'm so grateful that she did not get raped by this thug, this criminal. And she didn't even have to kill anybody, but she just had a gun and fired it into the ground and said, "Look, you better get out of here. The next one's for you, bro." And he literally ran for the hills. And this young lady did not get raped because she used a rape me not as God intended, and good things happened, and the criminal went away. Where's the mainstream press in reporting these stories of solutions? And where's Donald?
Oh, that's a-
Hold on. Where's Donald to highlight them? Remember, Donald was your pro-gun advocate, right? But I don't know if you know, Donald sent the BATF into Chicago to disarm people. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that either.
Yes, he is, brother. You go look it up. You'll find out. See, Donald's lying to you, my friend. He's not for your right to keep and bear arms at all. Because he could use the term rape me not from Sam Bushman, and he could literally frame the argument beyond debate. Look, we need a kill me not, a rape me not, whatever, steal from me not device in everybody's hands that's the good guy. Because that'll just stop criminal activity.
Those are the kinds of terms that go viral. Rape me not. I don't think I've ever heard it put that way before. I mean,
any woman that has a rape me not uses the great equalizer to stop some perverted thug from abusing her.
Donald Trump could make that a household term overnight. And these are the stories that he should be finding. If you can find them, Sam, with our budget, he should be able to find them and highlight these stories as the reason why his agenda is right.
And he should force the mainstream press, if there's 13 people that literally get the talking points, he should force those to be the talking points. But no, we're going to call Brzezinski ugly. Liberty Roundtable Live.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this'll work. Guess who's gonna have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. You know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this story's kind of interesting. It's gone viral, but it's hard for me to decide if it's a good news piece or a bad news piece, okay? I mean, it's just the amount of fake news is everywhere to the point where you got to wonder what the agenda is. And a lot of what Donald does is for money. He knows if he does something, it'll go viral, and it turns out to be just a ching-ching to the cash register for the good old Donald. And I think that's what this lady has done here. Here's the deal. Headline says this. Wedding canceled. Homeless get reception. Amy Bartner writes the piece. Now, the idea here is that this lady, well, was going to get married. And, well, let me say it this way. This lady and her fiance had a $30,000 wedding that they canceled for undisclosed reasons. So they had a non-refundable would-be celebration. So why they canceled their wedding, I don't know. But anyway, the bottom line is this lady then says wedding canceled, homeless gets reception. And so they say that about a dozen homeless veterans stepped off the bus. This lady by the name of Sarah Cummings met them at her, quote, wedding and said, hey, thank you for coming. And anyway, it's this big old to-do story. So this $30,000 wedding got canceled. They invited the homeless. Now the story's gone viral, James. I kind of wonder what the agenda for this is.
I saw this headline. So basically, it was this fancy wedding that she canceled just so she could give it away to homeless people. Is that right? Or did I
Well, they don't tell you why they canceled it. And that makes me suspicious. Okay,
so, well, was it a case of the groom had an affair the night before the wedding and she, you know, rather than it all go to waste, she gave it to the poor? Now that I could get behind. But if this is just another case of virtue signaling pathological altruism where you're going to scuttle your own wedding.
We don't know. And that's the problem that I have with getting behind it. At first, you could say this is great news. This is an awesome thing for the homeless veterans. This is wonderful. But when you don't know why the wedding was canceled, and then she just all of a sudden meets these people in a sleeveless dress, and then, you know, the media gets aboard, and they, you know, you almost wonder what this is turning into. I don't know that I believe it's what we...
It's hard to have... I saw this headline. It's hard to have a story like this without explaining why that action was taken. I mean, that's leaving out the whole meat of the whole. You would need to know that, right? I mean, because that could have a big impact on what kind of story this is.
Yeah. So Sarah Cummings cancels wedding and then meets the homeless. And, you know, I don't know what the agenda here is, but I don't know why, even if it was non-refundable. Why you would just give this to the homeless or whatever. And, you know, you'd think you'd find some other wedding couple to give this to and not get credit for it publicly. Or you'd think, you know, all I'm telling you is that the details behind this are very questionable in my opinion. But the mainstream press running with this like it's incredible. Now, I want to take on the $30,000 wedding idea in the first place.
All right.
Because if you're going to really be for the homeless, why don't you have a $5,000 wedding and give $25,000 to the homeless?
There you go.
All right, now. I got married. It cost about $5,000. And we had a wedding reception in California where my wife's from. We came back to Utah and had a little open house. And the whole thing was about $5,000 25 years ago. And that was Texas travel. I mean, the whole bit. I don't know how much it cost you to get married, James, but I've had three children get married, and it's about $4,000 to $5,000 for each of them. There's some travel involved, and I know a lot of people can get married cheaper than that, but so if you take my oldest three children, that's three weddings and my wedding, that's four weddings, we got them all four done for $20,000. These people have a $30,000 wedding and somehow they're just instantly all caring about the homeless veterans. I'm not buying it, James.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, mine was just about the same. My parents have a couple of acres and a nice pond in the backyard. So we had it in my parents' backyard. It was a beautiful thing. I wouldn't have wanted to have it anywhere else because there's no place that could have had that much of a sentimental value for me, for starters, to get married in the yard of the home that I grew up in. To get married in my parents' property. I mean, that was special. But no, I mean, it was a beautiful wedding. I mean, absolutely beautiful. I don't think if you spend your money wisely.
And how much did your wedding cost? About $5,000?
At most.
All right,
most
so let me just say, and mine's at most, too. I don't have a total on each one of them. I just know this. It wasn't much more. I mean, you know, but all I'm telling you is you put James's wedding, Sam's wedding, and my oldest three children's weddings. That's five weddings, and we still have $5,000 to spare. With the equivalent average cost of a wedding in America today and the cost of these people's wedding. And somehow they're just totally for the veterans now.
Yeah, and you could have these at fancy venues that are just going to charge you tens of thousands of dollars off the top, or at least thousands upon thousands, just for the venue before you ever get into the food, the catering, the decorations, et cetera, et cetera. So, no, you have them at a place like this, you have a great wedding. I mean, yes, we could have spent a lot more and had it somewhere else, but I don't think it would have been a nice, and it certainly wouldn't have been as special and meaningful. But hey, this is America. There's nothing wrong with charity. There's nothing wrong with philanthropy. But as the Greeks always said, Sam, and that one of their eternally wise maxims, everything in moderation, nothing in excess. Certainly having a lavish wedding when it's not needed. I guess money's relative. If you're a millionaire, a $30,000 wedding would be about the same as a $5,000 wedding is to us, or maybe even a little less than that. But also,
the other thing you could have done is you could have said, listen, we don't want a refund, but what we would like you to do is, why don't you have an event for the homeless for maybe $5,000 or $3,000? Or why don't we have several events, or why don't we donate some of this money, partner with us? There's a lot of ways you could have gone about this, but look, I don't know how many homeless vets, but are you really doing a homeless vet good when you give them caviar and wine for a day in the public eye? Or are you better off finding ways to really help them with this $30,000? At some point, I don't even buy the benefit provided necessarily. Well, I don't even like to go to those fancy fine dining wedding kind of things in the first place.
Well, if you ever go to a fancy restaurant, this is an aside, but if you ever go to one of these $100 a plate, $200 a plate restaurants, the food is tiny. I mean, the portions, you can't even get full there. If you can get past the taste, you can't.
That's why
even,
I don't go there.
Some of these steaks are.
That's why I don't want those fancy weddings. I'd be more comfortable at James's backyard wedding.
Take me to the Western Sizzlin', or yeah, just fire up the barbecue. But you can go to these. You spend $100 on one of these fillets, and it's literally a bite. It's one bite, and you're supposed to get full off that. Well, I can eat a lot. Anyway, I don't know what because of course the story doesn't tell us, so I guess we're just left to draw our own conclusions. I mean, maybe it's just somebody trying to be nice, and if so, that's good. But as I said, everything in moderation, nothing in excess. Yes, you think that that's pointing towards just lavish excess, which it is, but it also, even charity, even virtue, when carried to extremes, can be damaging. So always good, you know, again, if you're giving away everything you've got in order to benefit to people other than your family, then that in and of itself is.
And I still wonder if this was a true act of charity, though, and kindness, how it could be done without the public promotion and pomp. I find oftentimes when something's done this publicly, there's an agenda to promote it.
Well, it could have been as simple. It could have been as simple as she wanted to get in the society pages of her local paper, or, you know, even a city like Memphis, which isn't one of these fancy, flashy, cosmopolitan cities. Even Memphis has the Memphis Magazine, and all it is just pictures of parties and socialites and what they do and where they went and what they wore and what they ate. And maybe she wanted to get in the equivalent of that in her town. Who knows? Maybe it was. Maybe it is just
and
a
maybe
nice, good-hearted
it was a legitimate
measure.
Event. They tried to do it on the quiet, and the media picked it up, and, you know, whatever. I get it.
That's right.
However, when you read the story, it's like she was, you know, in this sequin sleeveless dress. And when the homeless got off the bus, then she was there to greet them and hi and welcome to my wedding. And I'm so glad I can do things for you. And all I'm telling you is when I read about it, it's more of a staged op, James.
Well, and I think something like this, too, you're talking about a wedding, which, you know, the average person only gets to experience a wedding four or five times. In their lifetime, the average, you know, or whatever it's up to now. But no, a wedding day, this is something that doesn't seem, you wouldn't imagine, and we could be far off. We could be totally wrong at this. This could be the sweetest, most genuine, sincere woman that either of us have ever
and
met.
And I believe
we
if that
know.
Was really the case, the mainstream press wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Well, that's true too, but it doesn't seem like all of a sudden she woke up and said, I want to give away my wedding to to homeless people. It seems like that was something that would probably be premeditated. Do you know how much planning and thought goes into a wedding? Do you think she just all of a sudden woke up?
Oh, and they talked
and
about it. A $30,000 wedding, it took them well over, I think it was like 2 years to prepare, get ready for.
Do you think you planned for 2 years and all of a sudden you just said, let's give it? You know, that had to be planned. This is probably orchestrated, choreographed.
And I don't know for sure. The reason I bring it up, though, is this. If you want,
I saw it when I was signing into my email.
If you want solutions, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now this. You can get married for a tenth of that. And you can do it, and it'll be an absolutely wonderful, classy, memorable event with tuxedos for the groom and nice suits for the men, nice dresses for everybody, including the bridesmaids. You know, the weddings that I have that I tell you that we can pull off for $5,000 or around that cost literally have 300-plus people in attendance, folks. Okay, I'm telling you, I know a lot of people, okay? And my wife and my family, you know, we're very well-known. I'm not saying I'm popular. I'm just saying we have a lot of friends and family and loved ones, and I'm grateful for that. But my point is, that's a massive wedding for 300,000+ people. I mean, 300+ guests. And we do things like make pasta by ourselves. We have groups, family members, and neighbors and people. And, you know, we made pasta, for example, this nice pasta dinner for my daughter's wedding. We had an incredible pizza event for my other daughter's wedding. You know, it's classy. And it's nice. It was like gourmet pizza. It was around this theme that my daughter likes, kind of a carnival atmosphere where they had candy and pizza and different things and salad. And I'm telling you, these are nice. And they're literally a sit-down dinner, all of them. Okay, and we pull them off for less than $5,000. And one of my, I don't know what you call it, in-law parents or whatever, you know, instead of him paying for the groom's side and I paid for the bride's side, he's like, look, if it's only $5,000, let's just split it in the middle. We each paid $2,500. Okay, the whole point of this is if you want to do weddings and you want to do nice things that build memories rather than promote pomp, you can get it done. We had a photographer there with incredible photos and everything. It can be done, folks, is the whole point. And you can do it for literally pennies compared to the average wedding cost today. And that is Solutions Radio, James.
To each according to their needs, as the communists said. Now, all kidding aside, Sam, you're right. We did the same thing. God bless you, everybody. Support this radio program. Sam Bushman's the best. Love you, brother.
Thank you, sir. All right, there he goes, James Edwards. We'll get some guest hosts with us for the next couple of days. Kurt will be back on Monday. Hard-hitting news the network refuses to use, always on tap. Hopefully, I'll get everything fixed with the programming, and we'll be good to go. Every penny you can spend to help us grow in the media would be absolutely gratefully received and sacred. Funds will be used properly. LibertyRoundtable.com, this nation's show.